So let us be still as we prepare to worship God. From the psalmist. All creation will thank you, and your loyal people will praise you. They will tell about your marvelous kingdom and your power. Then everyone will know about the mighty things you do and your glorious kingdom. Your kingdom will never end, and you will rule forever. We join together to sing, let us build a house where all can dwell. All are welcome. I don't know about you, but I changed the words. As you know, I'm quite often into changing the words, but I changed the words from place to space. All are welcome in this space, because it's not about place anymore. It is about space now, isn't it? Not about space as in, oh, that's me. Right, okay, let's pray. Let's join together to pray. Praise God. Let all God's people join together to praise. Hospitable God, extravagant provider, we worship you because we can. You take our inadequacies, our limitations, and pour out your blessings upon us. We are in awe of you, sensing your presence among us. Overwhelmed by your kindness, we fall at your feet. Eternal God, in you is love. But we allow our fear to corrupt our love, and we hurt one another. Some hurt others through selfishness or ill-considered words and actions, ignorance, and some hurt others by silence. Eternal God, in you is forgiveness, and we too must learn to forgive. Let our prayer guide us into love. Let it challenge our words and actions. Let it encourage us to think of others, to live for others, to share with others all that we have and all that we are. And let our whole being absorb your love. God, we thank you that you forgive us when we make mistakes, when we fail to do the good that we could, when we haven't shared all that you've given to us. So we come to the cross knowing that we are healed and knowing that we are forgiven and set free again to be the people that you call us to be. Thanks be to our generous God. In Jesus' name, amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to lead us?
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to ask Richard to share a video, and I've asked him to pause it at a particular moment so that you can guess what you think happens next. So I'm going to hand over to Richard. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, you over there and you over here. Let's see, I'll help you. Here, we're gonna take some photos, but the problem is the photographer is late. I'm gonna look for the photographer and then we'll take the photos. Meanwhile, you can have a snack, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go and I'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay? Here I go. Count to three.
One, two. Three. There. I don't know.
So what do you think happened next in that scenario? Feel free to type it in the chat. They shared it. Yeah, okay. The little boy shared it, yeah. You've got a very positive view of your little ones. But they're all going to be unselfish and share their sandwich. Does anyone think that one of them just tucked in, kept it to themselves, or had a bit of fisticuffs? Natasha thinks that he eats it by himself. The blonde little one with nothing burst into tears. Leslie knows the answer because she's using the same clip at the 11:30. Well, let's find out what happens. Thank you, Richard. Here we go.
This one or this one? This one. And let's do magic. The bigger one.
I just thought that was so lovely, and it was lovely to see them sharing. And today is, we're looking at a story which is about sharing, which some of us, well, certainly what I've noticed from doing things like parents and toddlers, sharing is not always that easy with kids, especially when it comes to toys. And adults sometimes find sharing very difficult as well. It's where some of the great difficulties in our world today come from, the fact that we find it difficult to share. And I want us to consider the sharing of small things. And so I just want you to think for a moment. And if you want to share it in the chat, you can, but you don't have to. You can just think. But I'd like you to think about, when have you shared something you felt to be small and possibly insignificant, but it made a big difference to someone? Or maybe you didn't share it because you thought it was too small an offering. Or maybe when has someone shared something with you that was quite small but meant a lot to you? So have a think about that. If you want to share it in the chat, that'd be great. If you don't, just just reflect on it, because today's story is all about sharing something small and seeing it multiplied by the grace of God. So I'm just going to go into the chat. So time, sharing a smile. Yeah. A smile really does cost nothing and does brighten the day. That's definitely true. I'm just going to wait because I can see someone leaning forward, so I'm assuming they're typing. No? Maybe they're not. I don't know. Oh, here we go. That's really lovely. When someone gave me the extra 20p I needed to pay for car parking. That's lovely. Leslie's jokes. I'm not commenting on that one. When I was at uni, I'll just share this with Natasha. Says sharing love with someone who is even ignoring you. Yeah. When I was at uni, people used to go off into London and they'd come back and they didn't need their travel card. So they'd pin it to the wall so that someone could just take it and use it if they were going up into London, which is, you know, really lovely thing as well. Lots of acts of small random kindness just multiplied by the grace of God in terms of the blessings that they bring. So I'm going to leave that thought with you, and also thinking, what else might God be calling you to share this week? It might be your time, it might be an object, it might be a skill, it might be something very small like a smile or a phone call. I'll leave that with you. Thank you.
I have to say, one of the things I really hate is, you know how nowadays you have to put your reg number into your car parking ticket? You used to drive out of the car park and you take your ticket and give it to somebody? Here, park for the rest of the day for free. A little act of kindness, but also, you know, illegality. All right, fair enough, I get that. Okay, we have two readings. A Tiny Story of Hospitality is the first one from 2 Kings, which Janine will read to us. And then a long story about sharing, which you find in all 4 Gospels, which I need to tell you is a very unusual thing. And Maddie will read that passage to us from John.
Our first reading is 2 Kings chapter 4, 42 to 44. Another time, a man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing Elisha 20 loaves of bread made from the first barley harvested that year and some freshly cut heads of grain. Elisha told his servant to feed the group of prophets with this. But he answered, "Do you think this is enough for 100 men? Elisha replied, "Give it to them to eat, because the Lord says that they will eat and still have some left over." So the servant set the food before them. And as the Lord had said, they all ate, and there was still some left over. Amen.
Just remembered in time to unmute. The second reading comes from John 6, verses 1 to 21. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing the sick. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to Philip, actually, to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For anyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough to feed all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down, and there were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste a bit." So they gathered them all and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus knew that they were about to come and seize him in order to make him king by force, so he went off again to the hills by himself. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake, got into a boat, and went back across the lake towards Capernaum. Night came on, and Jesus still had not come to them. By then a strong wind was blowing and stirring up the water. The disciples had rowed about 3 or 4 miles when they saw Jesus walking on the water, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told them. "It is I." Then they willingly took him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached land at the place they were heading for. Amen.
Greetings to you on this day. The readings that I'm going to be preaching from are 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. And then John 6, verses 1 to 21. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. We gather in the building at 11:30 and at 5 o'clock. It would be great to get to know you. Fabulous that you're joining us on Zoom. If you want more, get in touch. If someone fed you, would you see it as a sign of the kingdom, or would you merely look at the food? When we come to look at our world, our lives, our church, whose goggles are we using? When we look at these stories, whose goggles? The disciples, the servant of Elisha, or the goggles of Jesus and the man of God, Elisha? The way that you look at something makes a big difference. And we also need to be clear that when we look at anything, we do it against the massive background of a million-pound industry, which is telling us that we do not have enough, we are not enough, and that what we have isn't good enough. More possessions, and if we have it, then it's out of date and we need a new one. And this whole scarcity agenda is all around us, and for us, it is hard to spot. We are advert blind. We are like fish in the sea, complaining that we can't find salt water. How would life be if, rather than focusing on what we do not have, we majored on celebrating what we do? One of the features of church life that is interesting and a bit odd is how people have difficulty spotting the new and celebrating it. People can see who is not there and not the new who are arriving. For a growing community like Kingston Light Reformed Church, that's a problem. It's so much easier to manage a church that is in decline rather than one that is growing. If you're in decline, you've got a list, people leave, you chop them off, neat, blissful. But in a group where new people are coming, then you get the complexity of names to know, stories to hear, different communication methods to engage in, new things to learn. And it demands something of us. We're in decline, we do nothing. So when it comes to the story in the Gospel according to John, the first thing that we need to do is take off our synoptic gospel goggles. The synoptics are the other three gospels who have a similar view and are interweaving. John's gospel is very different. Jesus, in this story in John, is not portrayed as being moved by compassion for the people. His driver is to test Philip. He knows the hungry crowd, but his driver is the testing. In the other gospels, there is an overwhelming concern for the crowd, not here. What sort of character does that make Jesus? Multi-layered is what? John's Jesus is living on two planes, the theological and the human, and both of them at the same time without contradiction. Some people find John's gospel so saturated in theological meaning that they feel that it removes them from the man Jesus. Yet every now and then we get a glimpse of something that we only get from John's gospel. And in this story, it's the barley bread. Barley was the bread of the poorest. Maybe it's also a hint back to the story of Ruth, who returns with Naomi during the barley harvest. And the rabbis also contend that Boaz's gift to Ruth anticipates the great banquet at the end of time. What about the fish? Well, we've all seen those wee symbols on the backs of cars. That's Ichthys. It points towards Jesus and his saving significance. Each letter part of the message. But John's gospel, it's a fried, dried fish. How much easier for picnics, dried fish is. John's gospel is packed full of meaning, but there is also a realism about real food and real hunger. And of course, can't walk past that without saying something about the British government's decision to cut aid to the world's poorest, which will have a direct implication on their hunger. And it doesn't help any of us to keep the poorest poor. And it's not the place where the biggest revenue savings could be made. The people eat, but more than that, they see the feeding as a sign. This is indeed the prophet who was to come into the world, the people say. Then they try to grab him and make him their ruler. Jesus escapes. What would we do at that point? Many of us would encourage Jesus to seize the moment, and we would encourage our leaders to do so, to grab political power. But is that where real power lies? It might be for some in our times, but ultimately, the people eat and they see the feeding as a sign. Would we? Are we thankful for the provision that we have? Do we thank God for our food? The tradition of saying grace in many homes and for many people has gone. But to stop before we eat, to reflect, that will do us physical and spiritual good. The saying, you can never become obese over with food that you've said a grace over. And most of us who battle with food know that one of the issues is the way that we eat. We are eating and not even noticing that we're eating. We are watching the telly. We are reading the paper or watching our screens. And is it the best place where influence is exercised? Mindlessly chowing down. And of course, it's never enough. Whereas in the reading from Kings, the little bit is enough. The man of God receives the offering and says, it is enough. But his servant is wanting more. The story ends with the truth that the offering actually was enough. Clearly, this story is in the background for the writers of the Gospels, the early church interpreters of their of this feeding miracle. Elisha, his model is a model of life full of hope. It's not a life without challenges, because Elisha is constantly in the middle of challenges. We shall see in Elisha the ability to respond to those challenges because he sees the world through the lens of abundance. Elisha doesn't look away from problems, and he is constantly bombarded by people coming at him. Yet Elisha is reliant on God, who allows Elisha to share his hope in the God who is the God of abundance with those who are around him, and to respond to their needs. Philip looks at the crowd, and his gloomy words are, it would take 6 months' wages to feed this crowd. He sees the problem and he's overwhelmed by it, disabled by it. Whereas the child offers the little that he has. Of course, Andrew offers with one hand and takes with the other. He brings the child forward, but then he says, but what is that among so many? And that is the danger of life for all of us. Just because we cannot do everything, we absolve ourselves of doing the good that we can. We cannot sort out all relationships, but we could put energy into nurturing ours. We cannot sort out all environmental issues, but we can stop buying stuff and we can stop coveting things. What if it was possible that it is enough? Oh, no, 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 no. We want bigger and brighter and newer. Why? Whose goggles is that? Is it possible that faithful simplicity is what the world needs, what we need? Or what about the other story in John of the walking in the water? The disciples are rowing. They are moving in the right direction, but they are moving in the right direction by facing in the wrong direction. They're looking at where they have been. The past is their reference point, but they are leaving it behind. It's a bizarre thing to be moving in one direction by looking in another direction all the time. And that, sisters and brothers, is what we Christian people do all the time. We look to the future by studying our scriptures, which are based in the past. We look to recognize abundance by focusing not on the food that we are given, but by the hand that feeds us. We look to change the world by following a man who died on a cross. We look to alter everything, not by seizing political power, but by loving our neighbour, one noisy trombone player at a time. Amen.
So let us be still and then we will pray. But still our minds and still our bodies. Lord, it's a miracle story of what you can do with so little. Yet we know what it is to feel that our contributions are so meager. And the processes of nature mean that, like loaves and fishes were multiplied, those who are involved in the producing of our food also multiply. So we lift up farmers and the harvest of crops, those who are involved in supplying our bread and our fish. And we pray and remember that around the world, those who produce these crops, their lives have been decimated by climate change. The unprecedented high temperatures in Canada, the wildfires in America, the floods in Western Europe. Lord, you feed hungry people in more ways than one. And we thank you that over the last few months, many ordinary people have been moved to make food and share food with others. And the processes of the state have stepped up in terms of the furlough scheme. But we know that others are anxious now that things are changing with rents and furlough and money in their businesses. So we pray for all those who are in the hospitality sector. And we pray for those places in high streets and communities all over the UK, all over the world, that places would flourish once more. And we pray for creativity in charities, that they would be able to take the donations that they have and find new ways to raise income. Lord, be with those who are hungry this day. Pray for food banks. Pray for families anxious about how they will feed their children through the summer. Pray for those who are hungry for human contact. We pray for those that we know who are struggling with relationships. those who are lonely. We remember those who are overwhelmed by sadness because somebody they love and know has died. We on this day give you thanks for the life of Rosemary Moore, and we hold up Gordon and their daughters. Pray for Catherine, bereft of her friend Margaret. We pray for Suho, who has gone to be with his father in Korea. And we pray for ourselves, Lord our God. Feed us. Help us to get things right with food, but help us to be fed in our deepest, innermost sadnesses and our innermost needs. And we offer all our prayers, few that have been spoken, the many that come through our hearts and minds, all of them, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've already sent out the notices today. Service in the building today at 11:30. Messy Church at 3 and 5 o'clock in the building. By now, most of you will have heard that Rosemary Moore has died. Rosemary's been a friend to many, and she's lived a great life and a long life. And she's been a faithful member of our church and a faithful servant of Jesus. And when we know more about funerals and celebrations, we'll tell you about it. But the thing to say is that, as is absolutely typical, Rosemary has donated her body for medical research. So there won't be a funeral service quickly like there would be normally. But there will be some celebration. So please remember Gordon and their daughters in your prayers. Messy Church today is at 3. We meet at the fish ponds to examine nature. Change plan?
We're meeting at yours.
Oh, okay. Meeting at ours at 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just because of the weather forecast. Okay. So I thought we'd just go straight to yours at 3. And if people are coming, it's bring and share, but we've got a few families coming, so that's going to be really good. And if it rains, we get wet.
Thank you. On the 27th of July at 3, another chance to hear the new organ, which is currently on trial in Sanctuary. We've now heard it twice. This recital will be given by Peter Bullitt, who is Director of Music at New Malden Methodist Church. All are welcome to come and hear the new instrument. Could you please remember to send in your details about the church handbook, even if you haven't moved, even if you have changed nothing? That does not mean that we haven't messed up your address, because we have. You know, I've had people that send me messages say, I haven't moved for 20 years and you've already, okay. Send it to us again and we'll get it right. The instruction from the wise is I've sent out. And you'll see also there's a request from Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness. Imagine being street homeless at the minute with issues around the sun and water. We already are blessed to have staff in our building who share water with those who need to top up their water. But yeah. If you are anxious at this time, we are going to be providing you with lanyards. If you want to come into the building, you wear a lanyard that just warns people that you want a bit of space. We know there are people who are taking off their masks and bounding up to people saying, it's Freedom Day, we can do whatever we like. Not everybody is happy with that. So we want to help you. Lanyards, just to let people know that you want a bit of space. Thanks to all those of you who came to the 24 hours of prayer. Thanks to those of you who led it. It was great. Only problem that I had was Samuel Kang wearing his really horrible Man United top. But I managed to stick in the room. I was tempted to run upstairs, put my toon top on and come back, Samuel. But I managed to behave like a serious grown-up and not. Second Isaiah is the prophet who helps the people at the time when they are rebuilding, when they come back from exile. And I thought those scriptures might have something to say to us. So I invite you, during August, just have a bit of a look, chapter by chapter, chapters 40 to 66 of 2 Isaiah. Take a chapter a day, and if something comes into your head, you might think, if you think, oh, that reminds me of Mendelssohn, blah, 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 or whatever, or a prayer or a poem, send it. And then we'll send out the material. We're going to compile something and then send it out to everybody in September, just to give us all a bit of a chance to reflect on what has happened and what it might mean. So that is August, September, 2 Isaiah. What might there be from these scriptures for us at this time of decimation, turmoil, and rebuilding? You'll have noticed that I prayed for Suho, who's a member of the church, who was baptized recently in All Saints. He currently is with his father, who is dying in Korea. Pray for him. And Sugin is visiting his parents in Korea. Suho went to South Korea, no problems, he's South Korean. Sugin had tremendous difficulty getting into South Korea because he's British. Now I'm going to dedicate our offering. If you need help with the organization of your offering, let us know. Send the checks to me and I'll walk them in. Hello, Sugin. Happy to do that. But for now, as we move to our communion, let us pray. Awesome God, Jesus fed thousands of people with seemingly little effort. Yet we have grave difficulty feeding children in our own country, let alone the entire world. And even while we are praying this prayer, someone has died from starvation and lack of food. And when we share resources with caregiving ministries, your hand is upon our shoulders, just like it was on Jesus' shoulders the day he fed his followers. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to change lives by being part of this ministry through the building and through the life of Kingston United Reformed Church, by using the resources that you have first given to us. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are here to celebrate the great sacrament of the church, which proclaims Christ dying and rising, his presence with us. He says, I am the living bread. No one who comes to me will ever go hungry, and no one who trusts in me ever goes thirsty. We invite all who are looking for space and breadth and room to share Christ with us. Let no one feel left out. Before he was given to death, Jesus took bread and gave thanks to God and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God and said to his disciples, "Take this cup. It represents the new relationship between God and mankind, sealed by my blood. When you drink it, remember, I am with you." Before he stepped out into the darkness of Gethsemane for the sake of the future, Jesus, knowing very well what he was to do, took bread and gave thanks and broke it, then said to his disciples, "My body." And afterwards the wine, saying, "Drink it, each of you, my blood, sign and seal of a new relationship between God and humanity." So we take bread and we take wine, and as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are united at your table, even in our separateness. We are united with one another via Zoom and united all around the world, but we are also united with our brothers and sisters in Christ, those hiding, the persecuted church, united with our brothers and sisters in All Saints, Kingsgate, the Methodist Church, and united with our brothers and sisters in Christ through time who have gone before us into your closer presence. Thank you that you go ahead of us into our communities, that you are there pouring out your generosity and your hospitality into our neighborhoods. Thank you that you are transforming our homes, our streets, our schools, our places of work. You are transforming us so that we can play our part. Thank you that we who come together as one, sharing bread and wine as one with you, know what it is to receive generously from you. Thank you. Be present with us through bread and wine. Speak to us a word that affirms us in our generosity and in our welcome for others. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, may we know ourselves part of the heavenly banquet. Lord, we pray. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He took the cup, wine poured out. "This is my blood," he said, "shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lord, give us the grace to let Jesus be the King he wants to be in our lives and in our world. Forgive us when we have let our churches become kingdoms to serve the purposes of greed or the continuation of power. We know that by some people's standards, the kingdom of Jesus in many parts of our country seems very weak, thrown up on the waves and not much at all. But you are God who transforms. Give us hope that it's not about the kingdoms of force, it's not about the kingdoms of grandeur and size. It's about the kingdom of love and service. God, give to us a new understanding, a new hope founded on Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. So if you're around this afternoon and you fancy a cup of tea in the manse, you'd be most welcome. Come to the manse for a cup of tea. And I'm sure Sally will take you around the manse and show you all sorts of interesting stuff that you didn't know. Take you on one of our nature walks around the garden. And Ray will give you a kneeling pad and ask you to remove some weeds while you're there. I know what he's like. If you got time to stay for a breakout room, that would be great. Otherwise, our final hymn is Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, for now, forever. Amen.